Back in the 1980s, Bishop Brendan Comiskey, whose death was announced yesterday, seemed to represent a new modern image of the Roman Catholic clergy in Ireland, articulate, media savvy and TV friendly. But the County Monaghan-born cleric's career stalled in 2002 when he resigned over his failure to handle allegations of clerical sexual abuse in his diocese. That resignation followed the broadcast of the Colm O'Gorman BBC documentary Suing the Pope, which exposed abuse and cover-up in Comiskey's diocese and led to the Ferns inquiry. Colm O'Gorman was the victim of clerical sexual abuse by Father Sean Fortune, who took his life ahead of his prosecution for the rape and abuse of 29 boys. And Colm O'Gorman joins me now. And Colm, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mary.
30 years on since you reported Father Fortune's prolific abuse to Gardaí, 23 years since your documentary and Brendan Comiskey's resignation. What's your reaction to his death?
I suppose, first of all, Mary, I'm just hugely conscious of the fact that any death is a profound loss to somebody. I mean, Brendan Comiskey had a family, he had friends and people who loved him. And first of all, I'd start by sending them my sincere condolences on his passing. In the broader sense, I understand why people will now be talking about his legacy, and they'll focus in on the Ferns report and the Ferns inquiry and what happened under his stewardship of the diocese. His responsibility is clear. It was laid out very starkly in the Ferns report, which was published, as you said, 20 years ago this October. It was published as was that of his predecessor, Bishop Donal Hurley, and previous bishops as well. But I think it would be a terrible mistake if he was uniquely scapegoated and if he was seen as unusual in that regard. The simple fact is Brendan Comiskey didn't fail to manage reports of clerical child sexual abuse in the Diocese of Ferns. Rather, he managed them pretty much fully in line with the approach and the rules dictated by the Vatican and laid down in canon law. The cover-up of abuse in Ferns wasn't unique to that diocese or any other diocese on the island of Ireland. It was a cover-up that extended across the Catholic world, as we now know, and has been proven time and time again in repeated inquiries across the world and through media investigations like some that I've carried out myself. Mm-hmm. It was directed by the Vatican from the top. So it's really important that his legacy, if people want to talk about it in terms of abuse, is recognised and understood. He was responsible for what he did. He was responsible for complying with that approach and with those instructions. But it's bigger than that one man. He wasn't unique in that regard.
Is it important, though, Colm, to also remember that each bishop, including Bishop Brendan Comiskey, they made a choice. They made a choice between right and wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as I said, Brendan Comiskey is responsible for and was responsible for the decisions that he made. He was responsible for his compliance with and his enforcement of the Vatican rules on absolute secrecy in the cases of child sexual abuse, in the cover-up of those crimes, in the pattern of moving priests from parish to parish, even after they had been known to admit to abuse children. In fact, in many cases, as we saw in the Ferns report, in a number of cases, the diocese ordained people as priests who had been accused of abuse and sexual misconduct and proven to be responsible for sexual misconduct when they were seminarians. But those complaints didn't stop at the level of the diocese. I mean, in our own case, in the case of Father Sean Fortune, we know that complaints went far as the Vatican itself. So absolutely, he was responsible for his actions, for his decisions, for his failure to do what was obviously and patently right. But in doing so, he was part of a collective responsibility on the part of all bishops who were part of that cover-up. But the ultimate responsibility for it rests with the Vatican, with the previous popes across actually many, many decades, who enforced and put in place these rules that required the cover-up.
I wonder as well, Colm, in the years since, have you had any encounters with Brendan Comiskey, communications, private communications that you could share with us?
I've never actually met or spoken to Brendan Comiskey. It was one of the things that always struck me. He very often spoke about. I can remember after the documentary aired in 2002, I was living in London. I was in the 1 in 4 offices in London where I'd founded the organisation, and he'd put out a statement saying that he wanted to meet with the men involved in the film. And I immediately faxed, back in the days of faxes, his office to give my contact information to do so. I was always very open to having a conversation with anybody, and continue to be very open to having conversations with people within church at all levels, and continue to do so when that opportunity presents itself. But I never heard from Brendan Comiskey. I never met him personally. I never had any contact with him myself at all.
And he never reached out to you?
No, he never reached out. He often said that he wanted to and that he would, but he never followed through when I attempted to make contact with him for whatever reason. Now, look, the man was, I suppose, in many ways, would I have done differently? Absolutely. I think most people would have. But he was obviously dealing with his own demons, as we all know.
We talk about legacy. Is the Catholic Church now past that period of time that we saw in Ireland exposed through all of the statutory inquiries that we have seen through the 90s and into the noughties? Is there a system in place now that you have confidence in?
There's certainly a system in place in Irish dioceses. I mean, I know the current Bishop of Ferns, Ger Walsh, has done and is doing a very, very good job indeed, and I have enormous confidence in his stewardship of the diocese right now. I've met him on a number of occasions, and he's a very good man indeed. And I think across Ireland, the critical change is that the Church has put in place measures to protect children, but more importantly, we're no longer blind to the idea that this could happen in a place like the Church. And I would hope we're no longer blind to the idea that child abuse happens right across society and would react to it. So the secrecy and the silence has been broken. And I think that's a very key measure. Mm-hmm. At the global level, sadly, I don't think we can have quite the same confidence. We're seeing cases emerge and stories emerge right across the Catholic world, as we will continue to do so. And really, sadly, above all else, we've never seen a simple, honest acknowledgement of responsibility for the cover-up of these crimes across many decades across the Catholic world on the part of the Vatican. Mm-hmm. Even Pope Francis, who I respected in many regards, was unable to tell the truth or refused to tell the truth of that simple fact. And that's a really important first step. And it shouldn't be a first step this far on at this stage, Mary, but a really important first step. I learned it when I made my first confession at 5, is to tell the truth. It would be great if a pope would finally tell the truth. Maybe the next one will, but I'm not holding my breath.
Colm O'Gorman, founder of One in Four, thank you for joining us.